Hello and welcome to the Stumbled Upon podcast. I'm your host, Kate, and I'm so happy that you're here. This first episode has been a project in the making, let me tell you. So I meant to start recording this maybe before Christmas of 2024, and a bunch of stuff happened. We lost our dog unexpectedly on Christmas Eve, which was just awful. And then, you know, the holidays and all of the stress. And then January has just been going on for what feels like 300 years. And so, you know, winter depression is a thing. So here I am recording this episode, and I hope that in my meanderings, maybe you find a little bit of humor or camaraderie or learn something interesting, just something that sticks. And if it doesn't, that's okay too. Like, we're all here trying to figure out what we're doing with our lives, and this is what I'm doing right now. That being said, this podcast will feature deep dive topics on random things that just pique my interest, cause me to go down a rabbit hole. And I like to take inspiration from stuff that's happening in current events, maybe things that have happened during my daily life, or stories that friends have told me, or just kind of whatever sort of sparks my interest. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, I'd love for you to stick around and maybe come up with something interesting to talk about or think about. I also will love to hear your suggestions for topics. Let's get started. Today's episode, the deep dive that I wanted to go on was regarding birthdays, and it feels kind of silly to go back and do it now since it's nearly February and my birthday was before Christmas, but it's something that's interesting and I thought maybe you would find it interesting too. So I am unfortunately a Christmas baby, and all of my other Christmas holiday babies will understand when I say it is literally the worst. My best friend's birthday is right after New Year's, and she hates it because everybody's tired and worn out and hungover and they don't care. And my birthday is right before Christmas, and I hate it because nobody cares. It's all about Christmas. It's all about time with your families. People are buying gifts for Christmas time. They're not really thinking about birthdays. And for much of my childhood, I didn't really have birthday parties because we lived somewhere where it snowed, and I usually had a blizzard happening on my birthday. So that kind of sucked. And then, of course, you know, we're out for Christmas break from school, so there's no school parties. And I could go on and on, but like, you get it. Like, Christmas birthdays suck. And so I was thinking this year about birthdays, and I was like, oh, birthday candles, that's a weird thing that we do. And actually, what sparked this was I saw a TikTok, I think, or maybe a reel that was talking about how, you know, people who are pretty conservative Christian like to say that, you know, anything that is magic or occult or whatever adjacent is terrible for them and their families and this, that, and the other. And this person who had posted this video was talking about how if you blow out candles for your birthday, you're doing a pagan tradition, so maybe just calm down, was essentially the gist of the video. And I kind of put that back in the back of my brain to be like, you should research that and see if that's actually accurate, because as we all know, everything on the internet is true, and everything that everybody ever says on any social media platform is 100% accurate. So I decided to do a little searching and see where birthday candles came from, because I was like, this information needs to get out. It is important to share it with the world. So here we go. It started in Germany in 1746 by this count named Ludwig von Zinzendorf on his birthday. And this man allegedly was very into his birthday. He sounds like he was pretty well into himself, and he was throwing this huge, lavish party, and he, for whatever reason, was like, I'm putting candles on my birthday cake, and it's going to be dope. And he made it this whole big spectacle centerpiece sort of situation, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We never thought of this before. So that's sort of where it started. Prior to 1850 in the U.S., birthdays were not really celebrated, and this is because, for one, people had too many children. So harken back to the days of the Puritans and whatnot, and religious communities, and women, their job was just to make babies. I feel like maybe we should talk about that at some point too. That's another topic for another day. Feels pretty sort of present day issues, if you get my drift. Anyway, back then, women had a bunch of kids, and so there were too many kids in the family to waste time and money celebrating every single child's birthday. I mean, essentially, at that point, you probably would have a birthday like every other month. So ain't nobody got time for that. And then they also had a lot of ideologies against family-centered events. So it was more about going to church and celebrating God, and he was number one, or she, another topic for another day. And it was just not something that they were really into. You know, they just like were like, oh, well, I just had like way too many times. It was just not something that they were really into. And so they didn't spend a whole lot of time or effort into anything like celebrating birthday parties. However, in the early 1870s, in an article in the Ladies' Repository, they promoted the German candle tradition. So it sort of started to become fashionable to have birthday candles or candles on your cake during your birthday celebration. Singing after lighting the candles began with hymns. So again, we're coming from a very religious, strict, conservative background, and we're slowly starting to like inch our way to a more modern tradition. So we start with hymns because, you know, that's where we start. And the focus was just on children's birthdays. So basically, if you were not like a little baby, nobody cared. Also, just as a side note, I wonder if, like, when was the cutoff for children? I didn't look this up, but I wonder, like, when the cutoff for children's birthdays would be. You know, like, was it, like, double digits and you were done? Or, because at that point, the life expectancy had to have been pretty low, right? Okay, I just looked it up. The life expectancy, according to Googly Moogly, in the 1870s was 44.3 years for males in the United States. I do not understand why we do not specify female life expectancies. That feels a little bit irritating, that you have to like jump through hoops to get that information, but whatever. So the life expectancy in the 1870s in the United States for males was 44 years. So I guess children were probably considered maybe till like the teenage years would be my guess. I don't know though. That's not, look it up, whatever. So then in 1881, a Switzerland superstition stated that before the cake is eaten, the birthday person should blow out the candles one after another with no wish. So now we're like adding on to this tradition. So we now have birthday candles and we sing hymns and we have a great day, right? Now we're moving into this superstition aspect of it where we blow out the candles sequentially. So it's not all at once. It's like one, 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 one. Right. Then in 1882, in a New York article, they said that you should place the candles for the age, light the ones for the years past, and leave the current year's candle unlit. Friends would give a well wish for the birthday person aloud and each blow out a candle. So, for example, you're turning 8 years old, right? So you have 8 friends at this point, we're going to say. For this example, you have 8 friends and they've come to your birthday party and it's great. You have candles on your cake. Hooray. We've sung our hymns and now you blow them out, but you, the birthday person, do not get to blow them out. So you have 7 friends who each blow out a candle one at a time and they give you their wish for your year. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, from an adult perspective, I'm like, oh, my friends would wish for me to, like, you know, make a lot of money or take time off or travel or have a cool car or whatever. But at this point, we're in the 1800s and we're 8 years old. So, like, I guess we're wishing for shoes. I don't know. So, or maybe like health and prosperity, probably something like that. Like, oh, I hope that you get blessed with a good harvest this year or some shit. And then they each blow them out one after another. And then you leave the current years unlit because that's like, hasn't happened yet, right? Although, again, I probably should have looked this up too. But like, at some point, they're going to have to blow that last candle out. They can't just leave it lit. Unless they just left it lit until it burned all the way down. That would take forever though. I mean, if you ever watched a candle burn all the way down, even the little like taper, baby taper ones take forever. I don't know. Anyway, okay, moving on. So then in 1909, so we're moving into the 1900s, and there was a book called Correct Social Usage, and they kept the previous tradition of blowing out the candles and making the wishes, but the guests would keep the wishes a secret now. So you're still one at a time blowing them out, but now you're keeping the wish to yourself for the person. And I guess this is where sort of that superstition of like saying the wish out loud means that it's not going to come true type thing probably started. And then at some point in the 20th century, blowing out all the candles in a single breath to make this wish come true started. So now we've moved into our sort of modern tradition of you light a bunch of candles for however old you are, and then you take a big breath, and then you make a wish, and you blow them all out. And if you can blow them all out in a single breath, then your wish will come true. Now, as an aside, when I was looking this up, there was a lot of articles and research and stuff on the amount of germs that get blown onto birthday cakes. And this was something that never really occurred to me until probably like the pandemic, honestly. Like, I really had never thought about the fact that you are essentially spitting on your cake. And I just think about like all these little kids, you know, at these little birthday parties or whatever, and you're spitting on your cake, and then you're all super jazzed to eat the birthday cake. And we just ate the cake. And listen, I understand that being hygienic is important, and I can be just as much of a germ freak as the next person. Like, listen, think about this. You go to a restaurant, you touch a menu, okay? Touch it with your hands, and then what do you do immediately afterward? You grab that piece of bread and you stick it in your mouth. How many people do you think have touched that menu before you with clean hands? Okay? So just like think about that next time. Purell is your friend, all right? And or go to the bathroom and wash your hands if you like don't like hand sanitizer. That's fine too. Whatever. Live your life. But or don't care at all and just like use the germs to make your immune system better. Like, can we also talk about that maybe at some point? How the whole reason why your immune system learns how to immune system is by exposure to germs. In fact, side note, when you are born and you're going through the birth canal, as a newborn infant, the first exposure that your immune system gets to germs is through the birth canal. And that is the first time that your body learns how to fight infections or fight germs or whatever. It's from your mother. And of course, you have your mother's antibodies that are still circulating in your blood system through the umbilical cord. So like her immune system really, really impacts your immune system and how it grows and operates, which I find incredibly interesting. So somebody like me, birthdays, hello, bring it full circle. I was an emergency C-section when I was born. And so I did not get exposure to sort of that first wave of immune boosting things, which they say could like have some kind of long-term effects. They're not really sure. It's not super well researched at this point from my understanding. So something to think about. Obviously, no like shade to anybody who has to have a C-section or chooses to have a C-section. Like, that's cool. Like, do what you want to do. Do what's your choice, your body, your choice, 100%. But I just think it's interesting that that is sort of like a mechanic of birth is to prep your immune system when you're coming out into the world. And obviously, like, those of you that are born via C-section, like, you do get exposure to germs in the hospital, being touched by doctors and nurses and your parents and, you know, whomever. And so there is exposure there, and you do, it's not like your immune system just doesn't work at all if you are not a natural birth. But it's just interesting to me that sort of that is an aspect of birth, and how something like you wouldn't even think about being important is sort of important to the mechanics of how your immune system works. So anyway, that's a random aside. See what I mean? Like, deep dives, random deep dives. I don't even know how I got there. Going back to birthday candles. Okay, so candle traditions. So then I did look up some candle traditions. Candles traditionally, thinking of like anecdotal aspects of candles and candles in church. For example, they are used to represent Christ, who is considered the light of the world. Candles in vigils or prayers are used as representatives of maybe well wishes or hope, or, you know, just sort of like paying your respects. And they can also be in sort of more secular representations, thinking of movies like Hocus Pocus, for example, and the black flame candle. Or in pagan rituals, they can be used in to light in memory of loved ones. Candles with specific scents can evoke memories or emotions when we buy them just to burn in our homes, or, you know, to make us feel cozy or whatever. I understand that candle scents or scented candles can be a hot topic for people who are concerned about air pollutants. Candles can be sort of a issue with that, and I fully understand that, and I am in the process of trying to figure out how strict I want to be with candles in my own home, and sort of outweighing, you have to like weigh the risks and benefits of freaking everything that you do, right? So, okay, so I burn a candle. Is it going to give me cancer? I don't know. Maybe. I go outside and I breathe the air and I live in a city. Is that going to give me cancer? I don't know. Maybe. Is being alive till I'm 90 something years old going to give me cancer? Yeah, probably. So like, you just have to figure out what, just live your life, man. Just figure out, burn the candle, don't burn the candle, I don't care. But you cannot deny that certain scents will evoke certain emotions or memories, because that is well documented, that the sense of smell that is most tied to memory, or very strongly tied to memory, I should say. So, for example, you may smell like, I don't know, a rose-scented candle or something burning, and you're like, oh, that reminds me of like my grandma or my great auntie, or this one time that I was in a nursery and I went through this big old bunch of rose bushes and it was really cool and whatever. So anyway, that the point is that candles are kind of everywhere in culture, not just in one specific area over another. They were invented about 5,000 years ago. Another side note. I have a lot of side notes. This is going to be just part of this. So, you know, we're on this train. Let's keep it moving. So there is a website. I think it's candles.org. Actually, let me check my notes. I do have notes. Okay. Well, there's a website and it's dedicated. Let me not be scrunching my paper on while I'm talking. Caitlin Murray. Okay. There is a website and it is dedicated to candles and knowledge of candles and the history of candles, and it's wild, and I never knew that that existed, and now I do, and now you do too, and you're welcome for that information. So in 3000 BC, a relief depicts ancient Egyptians using candles to work after sunset. So we know candles have been around for a hot minute. The whole history of candles is kind of interesting if you're interested in that. That was a dumb way to say that. The history of candles can be interesting. It could probably also be super boring to you. I don't know. In the U.S., retail sales of candle products today is approximately $3.14 billion. So candles are obviously here to stay. I know that as a girl growing up in America, I thought that the Bath and Body Works candles were just the epitome of success. Like, if you could buy a 3-wick candle like it was nothing, then you had money. And now as an adult, I only buy them when they're on sale, but I do love me a Bath & Body Works 3-wick candle. So I understand the appeal and how they have just really kind of blossomed as an industry. I Googled the spiritual use of candles and you get so many hits off of that. So if you're interested in sort of like other sort of uses, spiritual practices, whatever, rituals, et cetera, you can Google that and kind of go down that rabbit hole on your own. I did not want to spend 3 hours recording a podcast about candles and go through all of the rituals that I found. I just felt like that would be a little bit too much, maybe a little too far down the rabbit hole, you know what I'm saying? But you are more than welcome to look that up yourself, because Google's for everyone. You know what I'm saying? So when you do look up the different uses of candles, you do get various religious groups, to pagan rituals, to witchcraft, to candle magic, etc. So there's like uses for candles in lots of different ways, and not just your house or birthdays, which is where we originally started with this. If you will recall, that was the original, hey, it's my birthday, it sucks, let me look up why we blow out birthday candles. That was our topic sentence, if we can all just remember that. So this is where we are. In conclusion, so my sort of meandering thoughts on this are, something as simple as blowing out birthday candles has a long and varied history. So you can really kind of look at any sort of thing that we do, that we consider tradition, that we sort of maybe mindlessly kind of do, or don't really know what the origin story is of the things that you are doing, and maybe think about that, maybe research it a little bit, maybe see if it's something that you want to continue doing once you understand more about where it came from. I'm not saying that like everything we do today is wrong or needs to be changed or whatever, but I certainly think that maybe some traditions, understanding the roots of those traditions may change the way that you view them and maybe continue to replicate them or not replicate them. Just some food for thought. I don't know. Again, it's not up to me to make these decisions for you. I'm just here, voice on the airwaves or the internet. Or is it considered the airwaves if you're streaming this via a podcast app? Or is it considered the internet? I don't know. Anyway, I'm just a girl sitting in my closet recording a podcast and talking about random shit. So if you're into that and you want to keep listening, that would be great. If you're not into that and you feel like I just wasted 30 minutes of your life, then I apologize. Actually, no. You know what? I don't apologize, because you stuck around this long. So if you were expecting some mind-blowing conclusion about birthday candles, I don't know what to tell you. That feels like more of your problem than a me problem. But either way, if you're interested in learning about more random topics and sort of going down additional rabbit holes, I would encourage you to stick around, listen to this podcast. And if not, then that's okay too. No harm, no foul. I will be dropping new episodes every Friday, and I hope to see you guys around next week. If you are interested in sharing your stories or some topics that you would like me to do a deep dive on, please feel free to email me at stumbledpod@gmail.com. That's stumbledpod@gmail.com. I will list my sources in the description. So if you're interested in looking at sort of what I was looking at, by all means, check that out. Otherwise, I hope that you all have a great rest of your day. I hope that you have learned something, or maybe thought that something was interesting or funny, or maybe I just helped you get through your commute to work. So whatever it is, thank you for being here. I will see you guys next week. Bye.